Well, that leaves me just a few minutes to do the next bit, doesn't it? Charles said, I'll tell you, he said to me before he left the desk here, he said, take your time, but no, I won't hold you long. I won't overhold you, but there's a tremendous bit to come now in the second discourse. So I'll start now from verse 13 to verse 10 of the next chapter. So what must this section be about? Well, this section must be about sanctification. These are the two points. You can't be justified by the law. Now he's going to tell them you can't be sanctified by the law. And he pleads with them. Verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. That takes you back to chapter 5, verse 1. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. We're liberated, brothers. We're liberated from death, from sin, from bondage, from law, from condemnation, from eternal wrath. We are free. We were slaves of Satan, but now we are free. But do not use your freedom. He's talking now about a life of sanctification, how I should live as a believer. So if you came through the first portion this morning unscathed, because you are in Christ, and in fact, it may have made your heart warm to think, is this what Christ has done for me? Now we're in the position where it applies to us now, because now we do not have to misuse our liberty. I've used the phrase before, what my headmaster used to say, liberty is not license. We must not use our freedom to indulge. You've got occasion. That means indulge the flesh. And then he starts talking about loving each other and caring for each other, showing practical works of godliness. I wish I had time to develop this, but I do not have time this morning. Verse 16. Speaking to believers now. So I say, live or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Brother and sister, we must walk in step with the Spirit. We aren't sanctified by walking in step with the law. We're sanctified by walking in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. It's not listening to a lot of rules and laws. It's being moved by the Spirit to a spiritual walk of love under his power. And then comes a wonderful verse which I'd like to explore with you, but I haven't time. I'll just read it to you. It's a very interesting verse, and I'd like to take more time with you over it. Just to say one thing. In the Bible, of course, there are no capitals and no small letters. The Greek didn't have that. The Paul didn't have that in his Greek. So we have to put the capitals in, and we have to work out what we think it is. Now, the word Spirit here can be small s, that's my Spirit, or big S, the Holy Spirit. Our version is taking it to be the Holy Spirit. I have my views about that, but I don't want to digress. Let me just read the verse to you. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. I'd like to take that up, but I haven't time. Perhaps some of you might want a discussion on it sometime. I'll come and see you privately, and we can have a meeting in your house or wherever, and we can talk about it. It's a very interesting verse. Let's come to verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you are truly converted to Christ, you are not under the law. That should be the end of the argument, my friend. Do you want a plainer statement than that? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, it's even better than that. Do you remember when we were back in chapter 3, I explained to you about the pedagogue? You remember the child custodian? Pais agogo, the child custodian. And Paul in chapter 3 says we're not under the pedagogue of the law. He now says we are led by the Spirit. And the Greek word he uses comes from that agogo. It's the same verb. We are not led by the law. We are not governed by the law. We are not under the law. We are led, governed, ruled by the Spirit. This is what he is saying. It's not so apparent in our English version. In verse 19 and 20-21, he tells us what it is to live a life of carnality. My friend, this is what you see on the telly every night. Look at your TV programs, it's all full of this. Read your newspapers, your magazines, it's all full of it. I'll read it in my version. It's slightly different to your authorized. Listen to it. Sexual immorality. Well, that's nearly all television, isn't it? Well, I don't know if you agree or not, but I do. I go to an iPlayer and it says sexual content. That's the end of that. Out. If you want to sell a book, get sexual content on the front. You'll sell it like hotcakes. It's the entertainment business. And it's carnal. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Hatred. You see all these political parties, they're all comrades. That's what they are on the telly. Go behind the scenes and see what it's like. They hate each other's guts, I tell you. Hatred is rampant in the world. Ambition. Discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, facts. Oh, it goes on and on. We're coming up to Christmas. Drunkenness, orgies. Oh, it started. And if a Christian lives like that, he's a carnal man. Now, I know in the States they think a carnal Christian is all right. When Paul says you are carnal in 1 Corinthians 3, he's not congratulating him, saying, well, that's pretty good, you're a carnal Christian. There's no such thing, my friend. You're either a Christian or you're carnal. And if you're acting carnally, you're carnal. And that's the only way to stop it. Well, put some law into them, that'll stop it. No, it won't. Make fear, make them afraid. No, that won't do it. Give me the Spirit. Because what will the Spirit do to me? John 16, he will take the things that belong to me, says the Lord Jesus, and he will make them known to you. He will glorify me. If you listen to the Spirit, my friend, he will always take you to the Lord Jesus. He won't speak of himself, you know. All these people who speak about him a lot, he only speaks about Christ. He draws attention to Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, love, joy, peace. The words sound lovely to me. The other words sound horrible. I don't know what they sounded like to you. Gentleness, self-control, all wonderful things. Against such there is no law. I'd love to take verses 24 and 25 further into detail. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. We're united to Christ. We died with him, with its sinful passions and desires. And then verse 15, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's a wonderful Greek word there, keep in step with. It means following the rules of the dance. It means following the leader. It means keeping in step with. It's choreography. And we are choreographed. That's the right word. We are led, we are taught. How? By the Spirit. And where did he take us? To this book. He takes us to this book because he inspired this book. He inspired men to write this book. The apostle is writing it here, and he leads us there, and we keep in step with him in his word as he reveals it to us. Time is going on. There comes then a series of practical exhortations to do with this. You say, well, we have got rules. Yeah, we've got the law of Christ here. This is what he's saying in verse 2. A very important phrase. The law of Christ. Not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ. It's all to do with Christ, my friend. Various sundry exhortations here. Look at verse 8. The man who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What is the man saying? In the first section he was saying, those of you who are unbelievers, do not go to the law for justification. Now he is saying to the believers, you are in the Spirit. The Spirit is in you. Live according to the Spirit. Fulfill the law of Christ. Concentrate upon Jesus. Keep looking unto Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, that's only a chorus. How about this then from Hebrews? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Consider him. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says. Chapter 3 and chapter 10. Chapter 12. Chapter 3 and chapter 12. He opens both chapters. Consider him. Set your affections on him, says Paul in Colossians 3. I do apologize for the rambling nature of this morning, but I did the impossible. My friend, it's not the information that you need. It's the heart and the desire for this. The two main principles stand out very clearly, I think, in this passage. Whatever state I'm in, if I'm a converted man, I'm going to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit of God within me. And if I'm unconverted, then my need is to trust Christ now. In both cases, the law will make no contribution to me at all. I cannot earn my way to God. I cannot keep myself. I cannot produce what God wants in myself. But by the Spirit, he enables every believer, looking unto Jesus, to live to the glory of God. I can only say to you, there's far more here than will be apparent from this rambling. Rambling remarks, it's just ridiculous. But there's far more here, my friend. I do apologize that I've not brought it over to you. The apostle is desperately pleading with these men and women not to go back to the law, but to come to Jesus always. And if you've never come, my friend, why will you stay away from him? What more can he offer to you? And those of you who have come, your prayer should be, oh, that I could love him more. Oh, that I could serve him better. Not out of fear. Not to earn my salvation. I can't do that. But because he has loved me and lived for me and died for me. What can I give him? What can I do for him? I think that's what the apostle is saying here. God willing, next week I'll just take the concluding verses and you'll see what's coming. Let me just read verse 14 to you. May I never boast. God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see. This is what he's about. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, it's the cross of Christ, my friend, and only the cross of Christ. Nothing but the cross of Christ. But for every man, woman, child who trusts Christ and seeks to live under Christ by his Spirit, what waits is that eager expectation of a glory to come. Outside of Christ, it's an empty blackness forever. I appeal to you to make the right choice there. And set your heart and mind upon Christ. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you. Your word is plain. We pray that despite the poverty of this morning's discourse, you will still speak to us out of this passage and bring us all to a living trust and a holy walk in our Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake, amen.